Hi, this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool. From basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it. All under the influence. We hear,
oh my god,
small little licking.
Ew.
Ollie has come. He just drank some water and now he wants to be part of the episode.
So,
which is usually not his vibe. Usually he goes and sits by himself.
I know.
What's up, dude?
I hate mouth noises.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the small licking sound of him in one of episodes past, I actually, like, cringe at it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. Stop it.
Right
into the mic.
I don't know. I need to fix how I'm sitting, too. But the phobia or the fear of mouth noises, like, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I get so enraged when I hear mouth noises or chewing with your mouth open. It's very uncomfortable and cringy, and I just get angry, especially if, like, I'm in a public place and I hear somebody doing it. I'm like, oh, I could be driven to do very bad things.
I don't know if I've told you this before, but I've during COVID and before I moved back here, I lived with my parents, which was lovely.
Right.
But honestly, the number one reason I needed to move was because my dad chews with his mouth open.
Yeah.
He has, like, a deviated septum, so, like, there's a reason for it. He's not just, like, an asshole. But, like, literally, I have to, like, I'm like, we'll be eating dinner. I'm like, why don't we put some music on? Because I can't handle this. Like,
it's
so bad. And I tell my mom, she's like, he can't help it. I'm like, I don't care. Like,
it still makes it uncomfortable for me.
I still want to rip my ears off of my head when we eat together. And I don't think he listens, but my mom doesn't. I'll get a text. Ashley, you can't complain about your dad. I can do what I want, actually. I'm an adult. But, yeah, I understand.
Says the adult living at home.
I was living at home. I'm not anymore.
I know.
But, no, I understand that. Oh, for sure. How are you? I'm trying to think if there's anything that, like, any loose strings from last, from last episode that we need to tie up.
I don't know. I feel like I don't remember last week's episodes because I was so tired.
Good.
And I don't know. Was there much that we needed to wrap up? Were there loose strings?
There's just things. Well, also, I mean, obviously we're over the rat story by now. But it's been so prolonged because, like, it happened, and then, like, weeks later the episodes came out.
Right.
And now it's just
everyone's
still
reacting
relevant.
To it, which, it's still...
It'll go down in history as one of the most memorable nights of my life. So, like, why not keep talking about it?
I think it is funny, though, how, like, at night we are visited by random animal noises, like in Kenya, too. Right?
That's true. But... last night, I was walking home from a happy hour.
Oh, right.
And I was texting you, and then all of a sudden, a fox ran in front of me.
You, like, were so excited. You called me immediately after.
I did. I was like, I need to tell someone about this, because that was wild. And I think it's, like, a fox that's been hanging around, because I've seen it twice in the morning walking Ollie.
That's cool.
I'm assuming it's the same fox.
And probably.
How many foxes?
Red foxes are so cosmopolitan.
That's true.
And just have adapted to almost every... environment, human-made included.
Yeah.
There are a couple foxes that live in our neighborhood as well, and one night I caught them playing outside of my bedroom
window.
Did
you have a video of it? Did you show me a video?
Yeah, and it was so cute.
That's so fun.
And shortly thereafter, all of the bunnies in our neighborhood disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh. Which, I mean, I couldn't feel bad because it was, like, about to be winter. I was like, well, those foxes got to plump up.
Bunnies are doing fine. They're all right.
I know. They are not endangered.
But now that I think about it, what I hope the fox was doing, well, maybe not. The last week when I've walked Ollie, like a week ago, like right after, I swear to God, we recorded the episode, I walked him in the morning, and I was walking down this particular street, and there was a dead rat on the side of the road. Ugh. Like a plump dead rat. So scared the shit out of me because, first of all, I don't know if it's alive or dead.
Right.
I once almost stepped on, I don't know if it was a rat or a mouse, when I lived at my Rhode Island Avenue apartment. And I, like, was luckily looking down at my phone, like, trying to find a podcast. And then I look, and I almost stepped on one, but it was, like, breathing still. It was, like,
ew!
It was, they find me. They find me.
That's
not even the worst part, like, worst thing that's happened to me with a rat. Like, it was awful. But so I was, like, scared of it, and I, like, pulled Ollie away. And then we kept walking. And then we do, like, a very similar loop most mornings.
Yeah.
And the next day I was doing it, and I scared myself again. I was like, you know what, Ashley? For the rest of the week, why don't we not walk down this
street?
Let's
do a different loop.
Let's change it up. But maybe the fox was getting the rat. I'm just surprised nothing took it yet. Like, predator.
I mean,
foxes
aren't so much scavengers. Like, they're not.
I know, but like this one, I feel like
a nice plump rat. Also, you don't know what killed that rat. Maybe it was some poison.
That's
maybe
what I'm saying.
Gross.
Maybe it was bad, but I want it to not be there anymore.
No, thank you. Well, can you, is it like on your property? Can you call people?
No, it's like on the side of the road, like the sidewalk by the side of the road.
Gross. It is. So I'm thinking now that you mentioned that rat back in high school.
So many rats. But so, what are we talking about?
This is not a rat story. It's a squirrel story, though.
Ooh.
So the road to my house, a squirrel had been run over. And I don't know how this happened, but like the squirrel was completely flattened.
No.
But the tail was sticking straight up.
No.
And it's a squirrel tail, so it's like just fluffy and
yeah.
But the rest of it was flat. And so it was there for like a week, and at one point it snowed. And my high school boyfriend and I were driving home.
Mm-hmm.
And it just this light dusting of snow on the road, but then you just see this like little stalk of
like a little
snow
tree
sticking up. And I will just never forget how both of us like rounded the corner and just started cracking up at the sight of it.
That's
it's
fantastic.
One of those core memories that like it was so stupid, but really silly and innocently silly too. Like
that's so funny.
That doesn't belong here.
That shouldn't be there. That's lovely. All right. Any more rodents? One other thing.
Oh, okay.
I got a haircut.
Oh, yes, you got a haircut.
If you're watching the YouTube video, you'll see I've got a new haircut that I describe as Hot Hobbit or Shire Chic.
How long have you been sitting on that?
Once I realized it, I was like, first, I think Hot Hobbit was the first one I thought of, and then Shire Chic came along. But
I like that one. That's pretty cool.
Right? But I'm here for it. It's nice and fun. I don't know how well it translates on camera, but...
Well... I think it looks great in person.
Thank you.
So people should check it out on YouTube. You know.
Check me out, baby. Or we'll have some clips.
You can check out Ashley's hair and her boobies if you watch the YouTube video.
We're going to get taken off the internet for saying that.
You know what we did get taken off the internet for?
What?
Well, I got taken off the internet because when I posted the video of the rat... On my personal Instagram, I put a little like poll on the bottom of it that was like burn the house down. And so Instagram took my Insta story down saying that I was inciting violence.
No! As you should have been because that rat was in my ceiling. That's hilarious.
I know. I was like, what the fuck, Instagram? Like, what was I doing?
Instagram has no sense of humor.
Nope.
None. My God. That's hilarious.
Also, it might be worth pointing out that I said check out Ashley's boobies because she's wearing a sweatshirt that has bow-footed boobies on it.
And it says boobies. And I love it. And I'll link to the creator that I got it from. But I love the sweatshirt. It's
perfect.
All covered in dog fur. But
I know. My leggings, which match your couch.
They do.
I blend right in. I'm just a top half.
Mm-hmm. If we had a green screen, you'd just be floating. Are you ready?
I guess so.
I don't have a clue.
Oh, I knew that already.
But here's the clue I just made up. Here's your clue.
Okay. Boobies. Are you doing blue-footed boobies?
Technically, I'm doing the Nazca boobie, but
okay.
It is a close cousin of the blue-footed boobie.
Great. Yeah. Let's hear about boobies.
It was only a matter of time since I have this sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yes, I'm doing the Nazca boobie.
Okay.
I could have done the blue-footed boobie, but that was too obvious. But there's two kind of reasons
Everybody
why
knows
I did.
About the blue boobies.
The blue boobies. But so the Nazca booby, or the Sula grantii, is a large seabird and a member of the Sulidae family.
Okay.
Sulidae family is gannets and boobies. They're all together.
Yeah, they all have that similar
face. There's 10 species of them.
Ten species of boobies?
Gannets and boobies.
Gannets and boobies, yeah.
But, which I don't, I couldn't tell if I was like, am I surprised by that? Does that feel like a lot? Or does it feel like a little?
Real quick gannet story. So.
Oh, all right. Well, I have gannet decor. I forgot about that.
The camp that I work at in the summertime, Hog Island Audubon Camp, everybody should come be a camper. One summer we were out on the water and we were bird watching, and we were on our way to an island for the day, and we're bird watching and like really would love to see a gannet. They are seabirds, so they're usually far off the coast and they're not that commonly seen. And the director of the camp at the time, who was also the founder of seabird conservation as we know it today, he's just like bird whisperer for seabirds and just earth.
Yeah.
He just very calmly, in his dry, like, old man state, was just like, you know, I think we're going to see a gannet today. And then lo and behold, not 30 seconds later, a gannet is flying, like, on the horizon. And he goes, come over here, gannet. And then it just, like, makes a sharp left turn and comes directly over our boat. It was the most magical moment ever.
That's truly, like, he took manifesting. He's like, I'm going to manifest this gannet for you all.
It was a manifested gannet.
That's wild.
It was very cool.
That's very cool. I've never seen a gannet or a booby. Other than my own. Anyway, so Sulidae family is 10 species of gannets and boobies. So these are medium to large seabirds that are known for plunge diving for fish.
Yeah. Fish.
So booby, where does booby come from? Do you know?
No.
So it comes from the Spanish word for clown or bobo, which refers to their clumsy movement on land, which is like, I feel like half the seabirds. All seabirds.
Yeah, a lot of birds.
A lot of them. Clumsy on land. Yeah. But yeah, so that's where booby comes from. This species was originally thought to be a subspecies of the masked booby, but it became its own species in 2002. Congrats to the Nazca booby.
Good job, Nazca booby.
And they are found in the eastern Pacific. So, like, Southern California to, like, around the Galapagos and down to, like, Ecuador.
Okay.
To that. To, yeah, that, down that area. That okay. area.
Central Pacific. Got it.
So what do they look like? If you know gannets or boobies, you already know, probably have a good idea. And if you don't, let me tell you. My favorite was when I was looking up, they kept saying their body is Sulid shape, which is cheating because they're from Sulidae. So it's just the shape of a Sulid. So you have to know what a Sulid is.
That's like when you, that's exactly when you use the word in the definition of the word. I hate when dictionary.com does that.
Yeah. So basically, like, think of a football that's been kind of like elongated a little bit more.
I'm with you.
Very aerodynamic, long and slender. That's Sulid. So if you ever see that shape now, you can be like, look at that Sulid rock. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess when else would you use it?
That works. Long and slender.
Long and slender. They have long, slender wings and a pointed tail. Nice. Again, they're known for diving, so they want to be like a little rocket, you know?
So they're known for diving.
Yeah.
Swimming too? Do they swim a lot?
Not that I read. More of, so they'll like go from, so they'll dive, plunge dive, so from the sky. Into the water. So they're not on the water and diving.
Okay.
They're like
that's what I was thinking.
30 meters up and they're like rocketing down.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah. These guys have a white body and white wings with kind of black around the edges and around their tail.
Okay.
They have orange yellow bills and then a black little face mask and yellow eyes.
They're set for Halloween.
They
look like a giant candy corn. Not really.
No, not really. They have an orange-yellow bill, but that's a pretty small portion of the bird.
Yeah, and then they said white and black. So, like, they're ready for Halloween.
Is candy corn black?
No.
No, but keep going with this metaphor, because I think it's working for you. But yeah, I guess, sure. The mask, if anything, they're ready for. Are you just going to leave because I wasn't here for your joke?
No, I needed more drink.
Well, bring one. Bring them all both over. Well, I'm gonna keep talking. these guys.
Argos left you too.
I know. Like, I will. I am cooler though, so I'll take it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. One update. Remember last time I was like, I didn't vacuum before you came over. Still haven't vacuumed. I just don't have the time.
Well, I just feel bad because I also just said, oh, Argos just got a bath, but he also went to the dog park today.
So he's just covered in sand.
So he's the entire dog park is now on your couch.
Perfect. That's what I was looking for, actually. So, okay. And then in terms of their feet. Are you done? In terms of the feet, they have gray feet. Boring.
Okay.
But they are the largest of the boobies on the Galapagos Islands. So on the Galapagos, so they're not me. We have the Nazca booby, blue-footed boobies, and red-footed boobies.
Cool.
Are on the island. But their average length, they have a wingspan of 155 centimeters. Don't ask me what that is in inches. And they weigh between 1.3 and 2.3 kilograms.
They're pretty light.
Yeah. Because they're a bird.
They're a bird.
But what do they eat? So what are they plunge diving for? They feed primarily on small fish. Sorry. They feed on small fish, primarily South American pilchard. Pilchard? Pilchard.
Pilchard?
Pilchard. Pilchard. So sardines, basically.
Great.
But they'll also dive into the ocean. Oh, by diving into the ocean. They'll also take flying fish, anchovies, and squid.
Oh, love an anchovy.
Really?
Oh my God, I love anchovies on my pizza. Oh. It's my favorite topping. And every time I get pizza with people, they are disgusted by that. So usually I just get my own pie and don't have to share it with anybody.
There you go. I don't know that I've actually ever had an anchovy, but I will say.
What?
Right?
You can't knock it until you try it.
I know. I think it's just I guess I could try it.
It's
I
just
could
salty.
Try it. Well, here's the thing. I love salty stuff. I love olives and capers. I feel like that briny.
Capers. Yeah, you'll like.
But I think it'll probably be a texture thing. But speaking of my dad, he loves anchovies.
There's hardly any texture. I mean, I don't think so.
Well, on a pizza. But do you ever just eat them, like, out of a can?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, moving on. Like I mentioned before, they'll dive from 30 meters above the water and just rocket right on in.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their sexual dimorphism, so males and females look different.
Kay.
Females are larger, and so they tend to feed on bigger prey and dive deeper. Cool.
Hardcore.
So what about their reproduction and their babies? This is a interesting point of the Nazca boobies. So the males and females will court one another. They exchange gifts. That's not the interesting point.
Oh, this is so like millennial / Gen Z of me, and I'm not Gen Z, but as soon as you said they exchange gifts, I'm thinking GIF. Oh.
They're just like, have you seen this one, man? This is my favorite. No, like rocks, but
yeah, presents.
Presents. When they do nest, they nest near cliffs on bare ground. Seems inhospitable, but
a lot of
seabirds are just like, you know what? Who needs a nest? And it's just wild.
And it works out.
But so what's important is that they lay 1 to 2 eggs.
Okay.
Usually 2, and the second one is an insurance policy, which we've talked about insurance policy eggs before.
The spare.
Yes. Oh, we talked about that on the penguin. That's what it was.
Is that where we talked about it?
Yeah, because I put in a clip from Harry Potter. Kill the spare.
Oh, that's right.
But so the thing with these eggs on the hard ground is they usually hatch. They don't hatch at the same time. They hatch between 3 to 10 days apart.
Okay.
So when they both hatch, they are a species that commits obligate siblicide.
Oh, Jesus.
So whatever one hatches first is going
to
get
kill the other
bigger
one.
Than the other one and will basically push the little one out of the nest, I put in quotes.
Right.
Basically, I was watching a video. It was like from Nat Geo.
That
is
brutal.
8 years ago. And it's wild because they're only like a couple days different, but like you can see
the
size difference.
Yeah. Because when you're a bird, you gotta grow fast.
Mm-hmm. But it just like shoves it off to the side and it just like basically dies of exposure.
That's so sad.
It will die of dehydration and exposure to the sun.
And the parents are just like, well, that's fine.
Well, my favorite was that it was a very dramatic video. It was like, this is the classic Cain and Abel. And there's like text on the screen and it was like, parents could intervene, but they never do.
But this also, is a Nat Geo video?
This is from like 8 years ago, and having been when I worked there.
I was hoping you were gonna say the 1980s.
No, but there was like a time like 8 to 10 years ago where like Neptune got like really dark and weird. Like they had a whole series about like those people who like use snakes in religion and stuff. Like there was a real weird time where things were really dark, and so this I think was from that time. But it was just so funny. But part of the reason that parents don't intervene is because they don't have
the resources.
They can only raise one.
Wow.
But so a lot they're of
parents
just like
today feel that way.
So they're just like are like okay.
Oh
but
that's, my
isn't
God.
It wild though that the tiny little hatchling is the one that does it. I feel like usually like it'll be like oh the parents just focus on one or like kick the other one out, but it's this tiny like 3 day old chick.
This is so sad. So
that's
I'm just imagining
shoving its like little naked brother or sister off to the side.
I'm imagining walking through this rookery.
Oh my god, just
and
tiny
just seeing dead bodies
tiny
everywhere.
Tiny little skeletons.
That is atrocious.
Yeah. And I don't know, so it made it seem like it was just the Nazca boobies that do this.
Yeah.
I don't know about the blue-footed booby or the red-footed booby. But
we got to find that out because dangerous. I may not like boobies
after this. Listen, it's hard. It's hard life.
Let us know. Do you
it's
like
hard
boobies
to be a
after this?
Their lifespan is 23 years.
Okay.
Isn't that wild?
That's cool.
That was just like all on its own. And then the initial reason why I picked the Nazca booby is
great.
Because of this fact. They have a very unique parasite. Do you know what their parasite is?
Of course I don't.
It is, well, clearly you didn't watch my spooky Halloween video on Ashton and the Planet.
Nope.
It is the vampire ground finch. So this is a species of bird that feeds on the blood of mainly Nazca boobies, but also blue-footed boobies, but it will drink the blood of boobies. But so they don't do this all the time, but when resources are scarce, they'll drink the blood of boobies. And it's originally thought that how this evolved was that they were initially taking parasites off of the boobies.
Oh, and
then
like,
over time, they got a taste from blood or like they like cut it while they were taking
picking it
the,
too
the,
hard,
the
yeah.
parasites or whatever. And then they just started making tiny little nicks and drinking the blood of
Ew.
These birds. It's wild.
This bird is disgusting so many different levels. Like
the booby
for it,
is not the one doing it.
Yeah, but
the finch is doing it to the booby.
Still, like you're just a gross thing now.
You're so mean.
Oh.
But the boobies don't seem to be bothered at all by it. They're just like, whatever. They're just
have
like
some of my
cuts.
Blood.
Why not? Yeah.
Can you imagine
weird.
That? Like a bunch of people just like sticking a pin in
I
you
would
real
pass
quick
out very like quickly. I don't like getting my blood drawn. I like blood. I don't like to look at it.
I would get severely annoyed.
Right? I must not feel it very much. The finches are pretty small, but
maybe they just think like it's still providing symbiotic value.
Right? I'm like, it's not. You're not gaining anything from this, but I guess it's, what is it, where like one benefits and the other one's neutral kind of thing?
So not symbiotic.
No.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
If anyone knows, let us know. And then conservation-wise, their least concern.
Cool.
They're doing all right. Like most seabirds, they're threatened by overfishing and marine pollution, but they're doing okay.
Great. That's good news.
But yeah, that's the Nazca booby.
Nazca booby.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
That new. How many boobies did you say there are?
Well, so there's 10 species of gannets and boobies.
Okay.
I don't know many,
three boobies?
How many, there's three on the Galapagos Islands. How many boobies are there? Species of boobies.
Google is just like, I don't know what to give you.
There's six species of booby. So we've got blue-footed, red-footed, brown, Peruvian, masked, and Nazca.
Okay, cool. That is fun to know. Fun fact.
But that's boobies for ya!
Woo!
Oh, they're so cool. Oh, man, brown boobies are cute.
Get your booby facts, yeah. All right, time
moving on
for an animal. Are you just drinking straight vodka over there? What are you drinking there?
The seltzer.
Did is you that think seltzer?
Yeah, did you think it was colored?
I might have.
I'm drinking what you gave me.
I've never had hard seltzer out of a can, so I guess I always thought, yeah, like maybe.
You've just always, yeah. What is drinking? Pure vodka. I'm literally drinking what you gave me. I just poured it into a glass.
Wow. Learn something new every day. Speaking of learning, let's learn about this animal. Here's your hint.
What a segue.
Very easy. I think you're going to get it instantly. This animal is what you get if you were to cross a red fox with a raccoon.
A red panda.
Exactly. I couldn't come up with a cleverer hint. So
whatever, we'll take it.
The red panda, also known as Alurus fulgens, or the...
Also, I'm very excited. I did not have a reaction. I love red pandas. They're so goddamn cute.
They're adorable,
I was just,
right?
Like, very neutral. I was like, no.
No, red panda.
I fucking love red pandas.
So, they're very adorable, mm-hmm. and they are exactly that. They are what you get if you... They're not exactly that. They look like...
They look like that.
If you crossed a red fox with a raccoon.
Yes.
We'll get into that in a minute, but they're... You've probably heard of or seen them. Do you think your dog is farting right now?
I think he farted.
Whoa.
Rude.
I mean, his butt is pointed towards us.
It is. We're disgusting.
Coming out everybody's ends.
Woo!
Okay, so the Alurus fulgens is native to the Eastern Himalayas and southwestern China. What do they look like? I think we've already described it for you,
I think we've established they look like a red fox crossed with a raccoon.
Very dense, rusty-colored fur with perfectly cute white-lined ears and muzzle, black legs, and a ringed tail. Oh. They're not that big. They're about the size of a house cat. That's the dimensions I'm going to give you. And yes, while house cats vary in size, so do these guys.
I also like, they have, like, really cute little ears.
They're adorable little ears.
They're like fluffy triangles.
Like, I think this is what anime was inspired by.
Oh, yeah. What came first, anime or red pandas? Red pandas.
I was about to be like, I think they inspire. Yeah, anyway, no. Okay. Wikipedia will tell you that these guys are in the raccoon and weasel family, but that is incorrect.
Whoa, Wiki.
I know.
What the fuck?
They're not bears either.
No.
Scientists thought that they were one of these... they were in one of these families when they were first discovered because of some qualities that they share with mm-hmm. bears and raccoons, but we'll get into that a little later, those qualities.
Okay. Mental note.
They are in their own family, Aluridae. Aluros means cat in ancient Greek, and the red panda's Nepali name is something like Paja, which means claw.
Ooh.
And so that could be where we got panda from.
Okay.
It looks like they broke off from a common carnivorous ancestor to skunks, weasels, and raccoons, though.
Hey,
so
gotcha.
There are some similarities. So they have semi-retractable claws, and they have very super flexible... Mm-hmm. they have very super.
Very super.
They have super flexible wrists and joints, and those... joints resemble that of bears and raccoons, hence the confusion earlier on.
Gotcha.
Got it. They also have false thumbs like bears, which are used to help them hold on to food as they eat. Giant pandas have this feature too. Like when they eat bamboo, you'll probably see them like kind of holding on to the bamboo shoots. And this I found very interesting. Back in 2017, scientists sequenced the full genome of the red panda and compared it to the giant panda just to learn about the genetics of convergent evolution, which you are probably familiar with, but would you like to explain what that is?
So convergent evolution is when, like, two adaptations evolve separately, but, like, they're the same. So, like, bats, bat wings and bird wings. Like, they're not, there's no common ancestor. They just both developed this thing independently.
Absolutely. Which, so why do they both
have these? My sister's going to be so proud of me.
Why do they both have these, like, false thumbs? Anyway. They love the snow, as I mentioned. They live in the Himalayas, so they're at high altitudes. Mm-hmm. They're typically solitary. Now some fun stuff. Their noises. Though they predominantly communicate with one another using scent markings, they do come prepackaged with a bunch of fun sounds.
Ooh, pre-recorded!
including squeal, twitter, hiss, grunt, and my favorite, the huff quack.
Huff quack!
Yeah.
Huff quack!
So I thought it was more like,
oh,
or like, that might have been it. Send us your best huff quack.
Yes, please.
All right, fine. Moving on with scent marking. The red pandas, they really get into this. This is their predominant way of communicating.
They really get into this. They're like really into scent marking. It's weird.
Well, like most animals, they mark their territory through urination, which tells their age, sex, and fertility, among other things.
Uh-huh.
But they also have scent glands in between their foot pads.
Oh!
So that when their freaking just walking around. Beep, beep, beep. They're telling everybody, like, notes everywhere. I am here. I've been here. I am walking the cat walk on this branch.
Nice.
So they use that to mark their territory. They in their foot pads, they're producing a colorless liquid that humans can't smell. Anyway, then as opposed to sniffing scent markings like most animals, they actually taste odor.
Ew. Do they have a Jacobson's organ?
So or it's similar.
Okay.
Would you like to, since you're also telling us about...
Sorry. So Jacobson's organs...
Snob.
...are... Sorry! They're like... Whenever you see like a... I always think of like, what?
This is the burpiest episode.
I know, because you brought us seltzers, which for some reason are so much... Well, last time we drank beer. No, we drank wine.
We
drank
a lot of things. We beep when we burp.
We burp when we beep. But Jacobson's organ is like this, basically it's located like in the mouth of animals. Mm-hmm. And like when you see, like, I think like Komodo dragons have it, and like species of like giraffe and Artiodactyla, you'll like see them like open their mouth and like kind of like look like they're like pushing air into like the roof of their mouth and like flicking their tongue, like...
Yeah.
Which, and for really, the audio, this gonna, is not great.
We're
going to
need
video,
a close up of that.
Ew. And they're like, oh my God, they're like so tasting the air molecules, right?
Yep.
Okay. My convergent evolution explanation was way better.
I just looked it up. Yeah. Which animals have a Jacobson's organ? It is present in the navel cavity above the roof of the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Check.
It's present in all snakes and lizards.
Check.
Right? It's also present in mammals such as dogs and cats.
Okay, I didn't say that, but I'm pretty sure, like, the one I always remember was like some kind of like antelope.
I'm sure a lot of animals have this.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, there's gnats everywhere. I don't know where they're coming from.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you should vacuum. I don't know what that would have to do with.
That was aggressive. Remember when your dog left sand all over my couch?
Honestly, it might have come out of my dog's fur.
No.
It would not be the first time that a bug has crawled out of his fur.
No!
It's really disgusting. Okay, so they taste odor, like I said. Mm-hmm. The underside of their tongue has a cone-like structure that collects liquid.
Ooh.
And it is then interpreted by a gland inside the mouth.
Okay, I picture like a tiny little like nerdy... red panda with glass and be like, what's this, guys? We gotta do our research.
Yeah, well...
Very inside out.
They are... It's gross to just think, like, ew, you're just licking everything. But they evolved to have this specialty, so this is totally normal for them. They don't get sick just by tasting things. They are the only carnivore known to have this adaptation.
Damn!
Yeah, very cool.
That's very cool.
But, now, plot twist.
Okay.
I just said they're a carnivore, and here's where the name panda actually makes sense. If you know pandas, you probably know where I'm going.
They're the worst carnivore in existence.
Exactly! So, 95% of the red panda's diet is fucking bamboo.
Oh, no!
Which, if you are familiar with regular giant pandas, they're carnivores that only eat bamboo. It slows down their entire lives. Because it's so hard to digest, they have no energy.
They have a stomach built to eat meat, and they just eat bamboo, which carnivore stomachs and herbivore stomachs are very different.
Very different. Anyway.
But so is this the same issue then? You're probably going to answer this question.
So...
Did they adapt better? Did they do a better job? Please tell me.
They're similar. But they will also... They're similar, but not the same. Okay. So they will also dine on roots, grasses, fruits, maybe some grubs and insects, and sometimes, if they're feeling up to it, they will hunt birds and small mammals.
Oh.
So they do actually get more nutrition than a giant panda.
Gotcha.
I mentioned the convergent evolution earlier, so here's this. Both pandas, even though there is no relation...
Giant and red.
Yeah, giant and red, the no relation... show modifications to certain limb development genes, which may play roles in the development of those false thumbs. Mm-hmm. In switching from a carnivorous to an herbivorous...
Come on, you work through it.
In switching from a carnivorous to an herbivorous...
I thought you were going to get it that time! Herbivorous?
Stop it. I have to get there on my own.
I don't think me saying it is really going to be the thing that sways you.
It's because my notes have and then herbivore.
Should we just move on?
So sorry.
I'm gonna try one more time.
And switching from a carnivorous to an herbivorous.
You're like, I'm gonna power through.
It didn't work. Both species have reactivated taste receptor genes used for detecting bitterness, though the specific genes are different. So this is just more specificity to those to the convergent evolution. Conservation, sad. They are endangered. 50%. 50 fucking percent of their global population has declined in the last 20 years.
No.
There are an estimated only 2,500 red pandas left in the world.
No.
They're fucking adorable, and there's only 2,500 left. They are threatened by poaching and loss of habitat due to deforestation.
Damn.
There are, however, community-based programs in Nepal, Bhutan, and northeastern India that are trying to recover them,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. We need more local efforts, and I think then there might be a turning point.
Some hope for them.
Yeah, some hope. So there you have it. There's a red panda.
Cutie patooties! Ooh. What does a red panda baby look like?
I don't even want to Google it.
Yeah. It's got to be cute.
Red panda cub?
Probably. Are they really cute?
It's exactly what you think it would look like.
Oh, yeah. It is so small. Fluffy. Oh, that's cute. Oh, yeah, that's cute. Oh my god.
Love it.
Do yourself a favor and look up a red panda cub. Well, thank you for you. I did something kind of gross and spooky, and you did something really
adorable.
Cute and
we're covering all our bases.
We gotta hit all, you know, we can't always like do the same thing. Sometimes we have to be drastically different.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it happens. Just a reminder. No, you do it.
No, you oh god. Okay.
Don't you do it? Don't we have this discussion before?
Well, you can say just a reminder. We're not animal experts.
Okay, just a reminder that we are animal enthusiasts. We are not scientists. Do your own research. We just want to get you... We just want to crack your knuckles.
Sorry.
We just want to get you excited or disgusted, depending on where you fall on the spectrum, like we do.
Mm-hmm. Thanks everybody for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, please subscribe wherever you're listening and mm-hmm. leave us a review. We're talking to you guys listening right now. It would help us reach more listeners like you. You can find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod. You can also visit our website at thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it.